All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to be focusing on verses 18 through 23. 1 John chapter 2, if you're using a Pew Bible, that's page 959. I'm going through a little bit of jet lag, so I pray you bear with me. I was telling my family, they were laughing at me. When I was on the airplane, I was really tired. It was a long flight, and I had something weird happen that has never happened before. So I'm sitting there, and I'm dreaming that I'm eating something in this airplane seat that I'm in. But I could sense that I was bringing my hand to my mouth like I was putting a cheeseburger there. And my mouth was, and I caught myself, and I'm like, man, I hope nobody saw me. So, the enjoyment of jet lag, so, okay. Let's talk about our passage today. So, we are getting back into our series. We had a couple of weeks with some guest speakers. I hope you enjoyed them. I hope you gained something from them. But we're going through 1 John talking about walking in the light, which is what each of us need to be doing. We need to, because we're followers of Jesus. It's not just that I got later on taken care of. It's that I'm walking in light in a world of darkness around me. And so John has been writing to us about what that means. So the last time we looked at this passage, he basically told us not to get attached. Don't love this world. Don't get so focused on this world that the things of God kind of fall off on side. And so he's going to take it one step further today, because he wants us to be aware of where we're heading and what's going on. Because if you get so attached to this world, you can actually begin to find yourself looking for some kind of hope here, or someone to bring you hope. And so he wants us to be aware. So let's look at the passage. I think it speaks for itself. I want you to look with me. We're just going to look at these few verses today. Look with me at verse 18. Here's what he writes, okay? Children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that Antichrist is coming. So now, many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. All right, let's take a look at this. We're going to basically divide it into three sections. We're going to look at the last hour, and remind you that Paul's writing this in AD 90. And so we're in the last hour. You say it's been a couple thousand years. We're in the last hour. You need to understand what he's saying here. Then we're going to talk about false brothers. Have you noticed that everybody wants to say they're a Christian, but that doesn't mean they are? So we're going to talk about false brothers, and then we're going to talk about what true faith is, okay? So let's talk about the last hour. So I want you to notice with me verse 18. He's going to make a couple of statements. I think we would understand the first one, but then the second one, that's a little bit harder to grasp. Here it is. Children, it is the last hour. You've heard that the Antichrist is coming. Haven't you heard that? The Antichrist is coming. So here's my point. The Antichrist is coming. So we all know that everything is moving to an end, and the Antichrist is this false Messiah who will appear, a false Messiah to Israel, a false Messiah to the world, and we're all moving to that end. We're moving to the end of this hero. It's not a religious figure. It's a hero. It's a hero that the world wants to lead them out of all the difficulties. And aren't we in the midst of difficulties? I mean, there's wars happening all over the world right now. Ukraine, Sudan, Israel. There are wars throughout the entire continent, throughout the world that are happening. And people are, to be honest with you, tired of wars. They're tired of economic distresses. They're tired of natural disasters. And they're wanting a leader. And that's what this leader is going to be. They're wanting someone to show up and to save us from all of this. They're looking for a Messiah. Well, there's going to be a false Messiah. And we know that that's going to happen in the end. So this is the last hour. But there's something else he says here. Look with me at verse 18. He says this. Now this might be interesting to you. Maybe you didn't consider it before, but here's what he says. So now, many antichrists, plural, antichrists, have come. And what he's talking about here is that we're waiting for this Messiah to show up. What we as a church are waiting for Jesus to show up, okay? But the world's looking for this hero, and this hero is going to come. The final hero is going to come. But in the meantime, we've had other false messiahs show up. You say, oh yeah, George, I know that. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, all of those guys. Those are antichrists. Yeah, they're antichrists. But here's what I want you to see. An antichrist isn't just some prominent world leader. An antichrist is anyone who presents himself as a leader, who presents himself as the reason that everything's going to be better. So look to him. Look to him because he's going to bring you hope. He's going to bring you salvation from your problems. We just need to look to him. And so there are many antichrists. We have all kinds of leaders that pop up all the time promising what? Better things. Only they can't bring better things, can they? Do you know what I mean? And he's saying there are many right now. So here's what I want you to see. Many false messiahs are already here. And the reason why they have the power, the reason why they have the pull, is because when you are focused on this world, because remember what he just warned us before in the passage before this, is don't get attached to here. And so if your heart is attached to here and you want everything to be perfect and everything to be great here, and it's not happening because life isn't happening like that, does it? It's actually not good. Then you're looking for somebody because you've prayed to God and you're like, God, why don't you make it better? And it seems like he's not making it better. So you got to look for someone to say, okay, yeah, I'll follow you. And that's a false messiah. Because I'll just be honest with you, folks. When we talk about the world, sin, and the direction the world's going in, there's only one person that can save us. And that's Jesus Christ. Because every other attempt doesn't land well. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Let's just stop for a moment. We live in a democracy. So I'm old enough to remember when Johnson was president and Nixon afterwards. Because I was a kid, but I remember especially Nixon because I remember the night my dad was watching the TV when he resigned. And then Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter, and my dad voted for Jimmy Carter. And then Ronald Reagan, that was the first time he won, and then the second time was when I could vote. So that was 1984, Okay? And then we've had other leaders beyond that. And so if you think about it, if you're older, you have in your mind a lot of leaders, and you've been through a lot of election cycles, haven't you? And with every election cycle, it doesn't matter what party they're from, they all promise you what? That things are going to get better. Well, how we doing? How did they do? Maybe they accomplished some things, but didn't necessarily do it, right? Because human beings can't. And Christians, of all people, should know that. So it's the last hour. So that the Antichrist, the big guy, the guy who is the fake guy to all of the world that all of the world's going to worship, he's coming. But in the meantime, there are these other Antichrists. They're already here. They've already been here. You know, if you take about Adolf Hitler, he's going to bring about the Third Reich, a 1,000-year reign. How long did that last? 10 years, if that. Sure wasn't 1,000, was it? This is the reality. This is the last hour that we live in. So with that, he wants you just to be aware that you need to have an awareness of what's going on around you. An awareness that even when you talk about people meeting together with you in a church, or you rubbing elbows with people in a community, that there are false brothers around you. And I should also say false sisters. There are people who claim to be Christian. But just because you claim to be Christian doesn't mean you are Christian, right? So here's what he says in verse 19, okay? I think it's interesting. So he doesn't want us to get focused on false messiahs, but he also wants us to be aware of false brothers. Here's what he says, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they were not, that they all are not of us. So here he's talking about people who, in fact, you're talking, I used to go to church. Like, that's going to be okay. What, have you met a lot of people that used to go to church? That doesn't mean they're Christian. So here's what he says. Here's two things I want you to grasp here. First of all, they claim a background of faith. They claim a background of faith. That's where he says they were once of us. So you have false brothers, false sisters around you who can claim to a background of faith. So they can say things to you like, I remember when I prayed a prayer. Which, by the way, folks, can I tell you something? Praying a prayer doesn't save you. It's faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. Okay, so don't tell me I prayed a prayer. So some folks said I prayed a prayer. Some folks even will tell you I was baptized. I was baptized, and I remember the pastor who baptized me. George, you baptized me. Yeah, I can tell you right now, I've baptized some folks in all the years of ministry, and sadly, some of them are not walking with the Lord today. But that's not what makes you a Christian. So they claim some sort of spiritual heritage. Sometimes they rest in, well, my grandma was a good church member, and they're okay. They claim a background of faith, but the problem is claiming it doesn't mean that you're it, because it would be reflected in how you live your life right now. Just because of something happening in the past doesn't mean that you're there right now. Here's the second thing I want you to see here about these false brothers. Their absence points to their spiritual reality. What do you mean, George? Look at what he says. Verse 19 again. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would have continued with us. So here's what he's saying. Had they been of us, what does that mean? Had they been truly a believer, truly saved, here's what he says, they would have continued with us. They would continue fellowshipping with other Christians. Do you understand now? So here's what he says. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Here's what I want you to understand. He's saying that the reality is their absence from the community of believers. So I'm not talking about that they don't go here, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about their absence from connection in some church. And we've got, you know, there's 10 churches here in Kerwinsville. I don't even know how many are in Clearfield. And some of the surrounding areas, there's lots of churches. There's some good churches. Now, there's some bad ones, okay? There's some good churches, and you and I know brothers and sisters in Christ who fellowship and are growing in those congregations, right? You should know them, all right? There's some good pastors here in town. Some of them are my good friends. And they're going to these churches because they're connecting with God's people. But if you meet someone who doesn't go anywhere and they say, oh, you know, I've got this background of faith. I remember when I was saved. That tells you something. Because here's the thing. When you talk about becoming a believer, you become part of a body. You can't have fulfillment unless you're part of a body. A body meaning other believers. God didn't create us to be islands to ourselves. And so when somebody says to me, I don't need that church thing, that tells me something. You're right, we don't need a service, but what you need is community. What you need is others encouraging you on. What you need is family. That's another illustration from the old scripture, right? Not just a body, but a family. And so when you have people, their absence points to their spiritual reality. That's what he's saying here. Their absence from the community of believers. They were of us, but they're not of us. They went out from us, and that just points to who they really are. The reality is that their absence points to the fact that maybe they really don't know Jesus. Maybe they're not saved. So, be aware. Be aware. Let's bring it to a practical level before I move on here and talk about true faith. So, each of us knows somebody like that. I don't need you to raise your hand, because I know. You already know somebody in your life that you interact with that used to claim a background of faith, maybe went to church but not going anymore, couldn't care less now, lives life as though it doesn't matter. You have people in your life that you've met that you know. There may be family members, there may be friends, maybe just acquaintances, somebody you work with. They're around you. What do you do? Here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Pray for them. How long? However long it takes. You know, as we're getting to the end of 2024, I was just reminded of this as I was sharing this with you here. 1985, I joined the Army National Guard, okay? I didn't need to. I did it because I wanted my dad, who was a career military man, to be proud of his son. So I signed up for 6 years. By the way, 6 years is a long time. So I signed up for 6 years. And went through my basic training and my advanced training, and then I went back to my unit there in, which was a maintenance company, light wheel maintenance company in Columbia, South Carolina, which is where I lived. And I'm in a class 9 platoon, that's the supply people, because that's where my training was. And there was a sergeant there, Mike was his name. Mike was a former Southern Baptist preacher, graduate of Columbia Bible College, which was a very good school. Mike, at that time, reflected these verses. He drank, he smoked, he cursed, talked about women. But yet he tried to act spiritual. So I was in that unit for about a year, and I shared the gospel with, trying to kept telling him to come back to the Lord, come back to the Lord, Mike. And he said, oh, I know the Lord's there if I ever want to go back. And so then God took me out of that unit and sent me over to another unit in Camden, South Carolina, where I became the chaplain's assistant. But I still prayed for Mike. I prayed for Mike throughout the years. And then it happened this spring. I was sitting in my red chair. I've got a red chair in my house that my wife was sitting in while I was away, and I'm trying to get it back to its normal condition now. So, but I was sitting in, and then Mike came to mind. Like out of the blue, Mike came to mind. Now you're gonna think that I'm crazy, but what I did was, it's like, wow, Lord, why'd you bring Mike to mind? So I took out my phone and I thought I would do a search to see where Mike's at. So came across a phone number and went upstairs and I called. That's weird. I called. And I said, hi, is this... I got an answering machine, nobody answered, and I said, and of course, if these days, if you're not calling from a number nobody calls, they don't answer. So I just left a message, and I said, hi, this is George Cannon, I was with you in the National Guard 30 years ago, almost 40 years ago, yeah, and said, I don't know if you know, but you came to mind, and I'm a pastor, and I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. And hung up, went downstairs, and I thought, man, you are stupid. What did you just do? You've got to be nuts, George. You just called somebody out of the blue. You're not even sure if you got him. 2 days went by, and I got a phone call. It was a South Carolina number, and it was Mike. I was here at the office. They said, hi, this is Mike, and I just wanted to return your call. So we talked a little bit, and... he said, thank you for praying for me. I have cancer. But we're going to get through this with the Lord. And I said, okay, Michael. And then he told me, I came back to the Lord. And then he said to me that something was really good. He said, I wasn't a very good friend to you. And yeah, he wasn't. Because if you're not living right, you don't like somebody being there telling you to live right, right? And then a few months later, I heard that he passed away. But here's what God did with me. When I got off the phone, God said to me, you just keep praying. You just keep praying. So the practical aspect of this is, we know people who were once of us, but they're not from us. And that expresses their spiritual reality, right? So what do? You pray for them. How long? However long it takes. But here's what John does. John continues on in verses 20. Now he's going to talk about true faith. True faith. How do we know that we're okay, George? How do we know? Okay, well, he says something here. Look at what verse 20 says. He says this. But you, okay, but he's talking about you. He's, that's those people who don't know the Lord. This is where they're at. I'm talking about you now. But you, John says, have been anointed by the Holy One. And you all have knowledge. Now, let's stop for a moment. Anybody got an idea? What does it mean to be anointed by the Holy One? What do you think that means? The Spirit of God lives within you. When you got saved, who entered into your life? The Holy Spirit, at that instance, entered into your life. You have the Holy One. So here's what I want you to see. Two things here. Two things about true faith. You have the Holy Spirit. You want to know how you know that you're saved? God's Spirit lives within you. You've been anointed. And He's guiding you. And here's the second thing He tells us. Look, here's what He says. You have an understanding or knowledge. What do you mean an understanding? Things make sense to you now because you've come to the Lord. Your mind is open to the reality of God. When you read the scripture, it makes sense. I remember before I became a believer, I read the Bible. It didn't make sense to me. But then when I got saved, boom, it all fell together. So you have two things about true faith. True faith is expressed in the reality that God is within me, and now I have an understanding. I have knowledge. So there's a test. How do we test things here? Here's what he says. Look with me, verse 21 to 23. How do we know that things are right and are not right? Here's what it is. Verse 21. I write to you not because you do not know the truth. Okay, so he's not writing to you because we don't know the truth. You know the truth. But because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies Jesus is the Christ? Who is the Antichrist? He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Two things I want you to see here. First of all, anyone who denies Jesus Christ is false. What do you mean denies Jesus Christ? Anyone who will tell you that Jesus Christ is not God, they're false. Anyone who will tell you that Jesus Christ is not the Lord, they're false. Anyone who will tell you that Jesus Christ is not the only way, because we live in a world now where everybody, it doesn't matter what you believe, everybody's going to make it in the same place. No. Jesus claimed, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Anyone who denies Jesus Christ, anyone who denies him as the only way to salvation, the only way to eternal life, the only one who's in control, anyone who denies him is false. They're not a brother. They're not. Don't try to make them one. Yeah, you can be friends. Yes, you can like them. But the reality is Jesus Christ is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is that not what Jesus said? And this is where people have a hard time with his exclusive claims. And buddy, did he make them. So that's the first test. What did they do with Jesus? And if they deny him, they're false. Here's the second thing. But anyone who confesses Jesus Christ has the Father. That's interesting. What does he mean by that? Anyone who confesses Jesus Christ. Now, what do you think that means? They're what? Saved. They've come to him by faith. They recognize that he is the one. He is the one who can save them. He is the one who can change their life. He is the one who forgives. He is the one who is in control. And you say, Lord, here I am. I follow you. And guess what? Because of that, you now have the Father. Now, what does that mean, have the Father? What does that mean? Here's the Father. Take the Father. No, what does it mean? Here's what it means. You have the Father. That means you have a relationship with the God of the universe. That's what it means. You have a relationship. You can go to him and talk to him. You can guide him. And you can give him your difficulties and your struggles. You have him. Why? Because you've confessed who? You have followed Jesus. And because you've followed Jesus and are saved, you now have who? The Father. This is the reality. So here, let's wrap it up, George. Okay, let's wrap it up. So here we are, we're in this world of darkness. All this stuff is happening around us. And we've got to be careful not to get too attached. It's easy to get attached though, isn't it? Don't get attached, because here's what happens. When you get attached, you tend to look away from God and look to others to try to bring your problems to an end, or bring the problems that you see to an end, or bring the problems that you've been told are there to an end. And so with that, you might look for a false Messiah rather than looking to the true Messiah, the true Christ, right? Jesus. But as you are aware of that, you know there's these false messiahs out there who are going to deceive us. You also realize that around us are people who say they're of us or were once a part of us, but they're not really a part of us. So what do? You realize that true faith is expressed in the reality that we have the Spirit, that we have knowledge, and so you test. Why? Because our desire is to keep walking in the light. Our desire is to keep walking in the light as we have our eyes on the light, which is Jesus. So don't get attached. And be aware that there are others around you that will trip you up and make you stumble. Look to the light. That's the reality. Let me pray for you.